position.
Snyder. Yep. I you.
Welcome, guys and ghouls.
You are tuned in to Broadcast from the Belfry, a brand new podcast for the morbidly curious. We're so glad we don't have to keep this under wraps anymore.
I still hate that pun, but I'm Sanjay, and with me as always is Georgia. How you doing, George?
You made up that pun, so
yeah.
Whose problem is that?
That's true.
This is our first episode, which we've hinted at before by me directly saying it's our first episode, and hopefully this tone is not what's going to carry for every episode.
I hope not.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I mean, kind of.
The general format of this is going to be Georgia, our resident spooky stuff expert, is going to talk about a thing that she finds interesting. While she drinks wine.
Yeah.
And I, who is scared of a lot of things and knows almost nothing about spooky things because I don't want to be scared by them, is going to kind of ask some questions, throw out some feedback, and we'll learn together. Think of it like reading Rainbow, but with gore.
Take a look.
It's in a body. Like, I don't know. It doesn't work as
yeah.
well. Yeah. But what are we going to talk about for our flagship episode?
The Curse of King Tut. Fun fact, every time I try to type King Tut, I type King Tit, and it's really awkward.
I feel like that definitely does exist, though. Like, well, it's King Tit and then, like, Queen Tit. So it's like lefty and righty.
Well, I mean, boobs are normally, one is naturally bigger than the other.
So. Yeah, exactly.
All right. I don't want to know who they belong to, but...
Yeah. That's part of the curse. They belong to us all. That's episode two, though. That's too far ahead.
No, episode two is the horror that is my love life.
Yikes.
Anyway. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I'm going to set a scene.
Okay. I'm visualizing.
All right. You are an affluent gentleman in Victorian England.
What does my accent sound like?
Upper class London bullshit.
Okay, sweet.
Yeah. And you have a friend who just got back from Egypt, and he invites you to a dinner party to show off about the fact that he just went to Egypt.
That's fair. Like, as a rich person, I like to flex on occasion.
Exactly.
Yes.
So, and he brought a mummy back with him.
Where?
He's rich. He can do whatever he
wants.
That
doesn't make sense. You can't just go get a body, like, bring a body with you.
In Victorian times, you could go to Egypt and buy a mummy and have it shipped back to England.
That makes no sense.
And then you have all your friends over for a dinner party. And then after dinner, you clear the table and you put the mummy on the table and then you unwrap it.
Is this a common thing, or is this just, like, one time?
It was, like, really common amongst bougie people.
Why? There's so many other things. I know they didn't have, like, Wi-Fi or Vine yet, but still, there are other things you can do. Like, and just bring back art or something. Not
well, they
dead
stole
people.
A bunch of art.
Okay, as you do.
I mean, it is Britain, which is the only place in the world that is great, but also the British Empire was... You know.
Alexander was pretty great, too, you know, until his untimely demise.
Only Britain was great. That's a Doctor Who quote. You're welcome.
So people, why? Okay, so you're...
So anyway, you're sitting in dinner.
Yeah.
Your friend is telling you stories.
Yeah.
And then brings out a mummy.
Yeah.
Roll for initiative.
Okay.
Just kidding, don't do that. The mummy's dead. So obviously it's a mummy. Oh, no. So then he's gonna start unwrapping the mummy at the dinner table, and he's either gonna tell you about all of his anatomical knowledge to try and impress you, or he's just gonna tell you about curses and shit.
I mean, we could also just go literally anywhere if someone wants to talk anatomical stuff. Like, if someone's like, do you know that the foot bone's connected to the ankle bone? I'd be like, yeah. Why is there a dead guy on my fucking table? Like, that doesn't matter. That's not necessary.
This also happened in, like, actual academic lectures, but...
That's different, though.
Yeah.
Like, you can dissect a frog in science
it's
class. You can't
weirder.
Dissect a frog at JCPenney. Like, there's definite
you
settings.
You have dinner parties at JCPenney?
What I do in my free time is none of your business. Like, there's just all... Like, there's places
that
for things.
That sounds like serial killer shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there are actually examples of this in pop culture. Whereas Arthur Conan Doyle.
Sir Arthur Conan
Doyle. Author of... Okay.
Yeah.
Author of Sherlock Holmes. Mm-hmm. Wrote a story. It's called Lot Number 249. And it's about this Egyptology student who just happens to have a mummy. And he reanimates it and then makes it attack all of the people who talk shit on him.
He just happened to have a mummy?
I mean, he's an Egyptology student. Who knows where he
got it from? That doesn't make sense.
Well, whatever.
Like, my day job, I make sandwiches. I don't just have a sandwich, like, for emergencies in my closet or something.
I wish you had a sandwich. No, I wish you had soup right now.
I also want soup.
So, that was published in 1892. And then, my personal favorite, Poe, wrote a story called Some Words with Mummy, which was about this actual situation where this dude got a letter from his friend who's like, hey, I just got a prank from Egypt. Come over for dinner. We're going to unwrap this mummy. And then the guy's like, okay, whatever. So he goes over to his friend's place. And they unwrap this mummy. And I'm pretty sure it's super satirical. The mummy's name is Alamistakeo.
That means nothing to me.
Like, mistake. Alamistakeo. And so they unwrap the mummy and they're like, what do we do with it now? And they're like, oh, we should dissect it. And then they're like, no, wait, just kidding. This was written in 1845, so, like, galvanism was still a thing, and, like, Frankenstein mm-hmm. hadn't been published for that long at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, let's put an electric current in it, and they end up bringing the mummy back to life, and then the mummy just calls them all idiots and tells them how primitive their knowledge is, and it's really funny.
Whoa! Dude, Poe was, like, way too woke for his time. He knew. He's like, there's aliens around us.
Yes.
You know, and I'm gonna, in a satirical sense, make you understand.
Maybe that's why he had shit. To die so weirdly.
Didn't he get hit by a train or something?
No, they just found him dead on a, well, dying on a park bench one day, and he just, like, kept yelling,
I'm dying. Fuck, I'm dying.
No, it was just, like, this name Reynolds, and nobody knew what he was talking about, and he was, like, gone for, like, 2 days or something before they found him on a bench, and no one knows what happened to him, or, yeah.
That's so weird.
Not what happened in The Raven, that's not what happened to him. Did you see that movie?
No.
Oh.
Wait, is
John Cusack plays Poe.
No.
And Luke Evans is the police inspector.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't The Raven the movie where Bruce Lee's son died, like, on set?
You know? No, that's The Crow.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of bird movies, and I do not.
Ravens, apparently, one of the main differences between ravens and crows is that crows are in big flocks, and ravens like to be in pairs. So if that's I ever so had sweet. A pair of ravens, I would call them Edgar and Allan.
Mm-hmm. And then you would be Poe.
Yeah, because yeah. I'm the boss.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they'd be my children.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. Terrifying. No, so why... I'm still... There's so many levels of me not understanding, but it's because I'm a poor man. You know,
well, like, yeah, you don't get bougie British society,
yeah, obviously. Yeah, exactly. Like, I've never had a body flown from another, like, country just for funsies. But, like...
I'll bring one in for our party.
Thank you. So, do you either talk about anatomical knowledge or curses. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you be afraid of these curses that you're so well-informed on?
I mean, I guess. I don't know. But unless... Well, I don't know, because if you're... bougie, upper-class British society are probably like, oh, these superstitious idiots think that this can happen. Mm-mm. Right?
Don't trust it.
So, anyway, these were all symptoms of Egyptomania, is what it was called,
mm-hmm.
which took over Britain and the continent after Napoleon savants went into Egypt and were like, oh, we just are going to do a bunch of research. Do you know who the savants are?
No, I don't.
Napoleon traveled with his army, but he also took a team of engineers and scientists and just, like, scholars in general with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to Alexandria in, I want to say, 1798. And then Egypt did not go super great for Napoleon, and so he peaced out and went back to France in 1799, but he left everyone else behind. He was just like, I have a guest coming to my palace or whatever.
And he's like, I left my oven on, I'll be right back.
I'll be back. And then he never went back. But he left part of his army there and all of his savants. And he was like, you guys, you get this whole empty palace in Cairo to use as your research center, but I need you to make maps and take notes and collect, like, natural specimens and document monuments and temples and stuff like that. And they ended up founding, like, the Institute of Egypt, I think it was called.
Oh, sweet.
And then they're the ones who found the Rosetta Stone.
Interesting. Okay.
Do you know what that is?
Yeah, obviously. I mean, I watch daytime and nighttime television, so I know all about the Rosetta Stone, the program, as well as the
physical one.
You didn't know
that?
Oh, like
the language learning program?
Yeah.
I thought you meant like a TV show program.
No.
That's the British language in me coming out. Guys, I grew up in England. It's not my fault.
She didn't.
American English is not my first language.
Sure, yeah. Gonna pop out my eyeballs right now.
Well, then what languages were on the Rosetta Stone?
You know, like a few.
Okay. Specifically?
I believe that there was Latin.
Nope.
There was Klingon.
Nope.
There was Sumerian.
Nope.
And there was French.
The only languages that you are familiar with.
French and...
Klingon. Klingon. You nerd.
Yeah. Yep, that's it.
Klingons
are done.
It had hieroglyphs and demotic.
I don't know. What is demotic?
Demotic is not demonic. It sounded like I said demonic.
Yeah.
I wish it had demonic on it.
Just evil scribbles.
Demotic was like a colloquial form of the Egyptian language.
Okay.
That, like, so the point of the Rosetta Stone, well, itself was just like a declaration talking about how cool the pharaoh was.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Ramses the second, maybe? I can't remember.
Classic Ramses the second.
Yeah.
Yep.
But anyway, so, like, the point of the Rosetta Stone was, like, hey, this is how cool the pharaoh is, but they wanted everybody to be able to read it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it had hieroglyphs in it for, like, royalty and, like, people from the temples and stuff,
because mm-hmm.
they could read hieroglyphs. And then it had demotic on it for the common people.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also had ancient Greek on it for people who could learn ancient Greek.
Mm-hmm.
And so, basically, the Rosetta Stone is so cool because it helped decipher hieroglyphs.
Makes sense.
Like, they used the ancient Greek to figure out what the hieroglyphs meant. So then that provided the knowledge to decipher hieroglyphs in, like, tombs and shit all over.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool. Anywho, oh, I did find this quote that I really liked. It's kind of going back to your thing. It was from Atlas Obscura. And it says, "The same people who thought it vulgar to take off their gloves in mixed company delighted in having a millennia-old corpse divested of its wrappings in front of them."
Yeah, that shit's nasty. Like, it just doesn't make sense.
But don't take your gloves off, because there's a lady present.
I just... No one wants to see these hands. They can catch them if they keep acting like this, but they're not going to see them.
Ugh.
Just blurs.
Just blurs.
That's it.
So, we're going to fast forward. So 1922, my favorite decade.
Yeah, my favorite year specifically.
Why?
Roaring 20s, dude.
Howard Carter.
Mm-hmm.
Is an archaeologist.
Yeah.
My homeboy.
Yeah, my boy Howie.
And he'd been working under this English aristocrat, maybe? Lord Carnarvon, for 15 years by this point. And they were searching the Valley of the Kings. And then World War I happened, and they were like, just kidding. Let's pause.
Yeah, we've got no money. All of our soup cans are getting turned into bullets.
Yeah.
Ladies in the workplace. You know, it was a crazy time.
And so they paused until 1917, when the end of the war was declared. Or at least when Germany surrendered before the treaty, but, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so then Carnarvon was like, dude, it's 1922. We've been looking for years. We're not going to find anything.
Mm-hmm.
And Carter was like, one more year. Let's give it one more year. And if we don't find anything, then okay, fine.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord Carnarvon was like, all right, cool, whatever. Luckily for all of them,
mm-hmm.
they found the first step to KV-62 on November 4th, 1922.
Mm-hmm.
A day I remember every year.
Yeah. As we all should.
And then they entered that tomb on February 16th, 1923. Kind of. They weren't supposed to.
Why did it take so long?
So archaeology actually has a season.
Weird. I don't know a lot about sports, but I feel like archaeology is probably one of the worst sports.
Yeah, it's really
important. Yeah.
Also, there's just, like, lots of paperwork and stuff. Like, you have to submit permits and, like, get permission from the government to enter it, and you have to do all of this
stuff.
Just
trespass.
So, well, actually, they kind of did. And I didn't actually research any of this for the specific instance, but I've read about it before. And I can't remember when. I think it might have been, like, once they cleared all the steps out before they got the permits to actually enter the tomb. It was just him and Carnarvon, I think. Maybe one other person. It might have been Carnarvon's daughter, Evelyn. Who, fun fact, the Evelyn and the mummy is named for.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cool.
She's my home girl. So I think it was just Carter and Carnarvon and then Carnarvon's daughter, maybe. And they, like, busted a little hole in the wall into the actual tomb itself. Carter was the first person to stick his little face in there and, like, have a look around. But they weren't supposed to do that. Mm-hmm. And they, like, had to make it look like they didn't do it. Or I think they, like, said that it must have been grave robbers or something. Because grave robbers had been there, but very minimally. They hadn't broken into the actual tomb itself. What do you know about King Tut?
I know that he was the dude. You know, like when you know, when you think ancient Egypt, you think pyramids, sand, kind of Aladdin, but like not really Aladdin.
kind of Aladdin.
And there's just like real big statues of dudes with big hats. Tut. King Tut, biggest hat, biggest statues.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
No, definitely.
There's no statues of him anywhere.
Wait, was he 12? Was he, like, a kid?
He would have been 9 when he took the throne.
Yeah, never mind. I do know about King Tut. He was, like, 12. No big statues, because he was little. He didn't ascend to, like, that level of, like, of...
There's no big statues of him for a very different reason. It's
because he was little.
There's no statues of him at all for a very different reason.
Because he never existed. He was a metaphor.
We'll get there.
We're all King Tut.
So, he was an 18th dynasty pharaoh. During what is known as the Amarna period. And so basically, all right, he is supposed to be the son of Amenhotep IV, who woke up one day and was like, our religion is whack. Let's switch it up.
Sweet. As you do on occasion.
So when he's the king, who's going to tell him no?
Yeah.
So, and his wife is Nefertiti. She's like the hottest chick in all of Egypt.
Mm-hmm. Like, there's still calendars
out there. They're unstoppable.
You can find them everywhere.
He changed his name to Akhenaten. So basically, like, the original religion was about the Amun, which was, like, the sun god, but also all of Egypt's deities were more or less, like, equal to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't worship one god over another. One is not more important than the other.
Mm-hmm. It's like they're a family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was like, no. The sun disk. He called it the Aten.
Mm-hmm.
And he changed his name to Akhenaten.
Mm-hmm.
And he moved the worship center from Thebes to Amarna, which is why it's called the Amarna period. Then he had other wives other than Nefertiti, mm-hmm. or at least concubines and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think one of them was his cousin, and that's supposed to be Tut's mom. So much incest right now. You think Game of Thrones is bad? This is...
It's like capital I.
12 times worse.
Yeah.
So, Tut had a club foot and a cleft palate and all kinds of genetic crap because...
It's just big ugly.
He was super incest.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, like his death mask looks nothing like him. Like his death mask is all like handsome pharaoh and stuff. And he was just like, nah, I don't like, look like me. This.
Yeah.
Sorry, fam. He... became pharaoh when he was 9. And so he had 2 advisors. I think one of them was supposed to be his uncle or something, Ai. And he was, like, an old dude. And then Horemheb was his other advisor, who I think became the pharaoh after Tut died at the age of 19. But while he was reigning, he was like, all right, well, because he was actually born as Tutankhaten. But then when they abolished the new religion and went back to the old ways, he changed his name back to Tutankhamun to, like, be symbolic of him reverting religion back to the old ways.
Makes sense.
Which was probably more of his advisors than him because he was so young, but... Mm-hmm. And then he died at 19, but there's still some debate as to why.
Mm. I mean, I also almost died at 19.
I didn't.
So
I moved to Kansas when I was 19.
So you emotionally died at 19.
Wait, no, I was 20. When I was 19, I had my first quarter-life crisis.
Sweet.
Definitely.
I had my midlife crisis at 25 this year, so I understand.
So you're going to die at 50?
Probably.
I'm going to be over 100. I'm going to do it.
Spooky.
I can't wait to be old because then you can just drive around and...
just scream at people.
Hit people. Yeah. And people will just say that you're senile. So it's fine. It's going to be great.
Tapioca by the handful.
Ew.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. That's what you do when you're old.
I mean, I would throw tapioca by the handful at people, gross. But I wouldn't eat it.
Wait, are, speaking of dead people, so are death masks made before you die, or are they made, like, as you're dying? So, like, Tut was on the ground like, oh shit, I'm dying.
Make me a death mask.
Yeah, I need a mask now. And there's just a guy on reserve that's like, oh yeah.
Typically, I don't really know, but... pharaohs were so obsessed with what their afterlife would be like, that they did, I mean, they built their pyramids and stuff, like, while they were alive. They built their tombs while they were alive.
Yeah.
Because they were so concerned with. So part of the thing with the Egyptian afterlife is that you have to be remembered in order for your afterlife to go on.
Okay, makes sense.
Like, your name has to exist. Mm-hmm. And so... that's why there's, like, statues and the pyramids are named after, like, the people that are buried in them. Mm-hmm. That's why their cartouches are all over hieroglyphs, like, in inscriptions and stuff like that. And so if somebody was, like, a heretic or they just didn't contribute anything to their rule, whatever, Akhenaten, Nefertiti, and Tut, because of Akhenaten's terrible choices... He also just, like, weakened Egyptian economy and everything really poorly during this time.
As you do.
He just wasn't a good ruler, because he was more concerned with himself and everything.
Was he a cool guy, though?
I would imagine he's, like, that hippie dude that you're just like, you're kind of crazy, but I have to do what you tell me to, because you're my boss.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, so if you, like, do something to piss off the people, you're not a good ruler, whatever, they will... erase your name from all, like, documentation, from all hieroglyphs. That's why there's no statues of him.
Whoa.
Or his father, or Nefertiti. Like, it's really hard to find
that
evidence that they existed. Mm-hmm. They did the same thing with Hatshepsut, too. But that was because they considered her to be a usurper of the throne. Mm-hmm. But she was also a badass. So. And everyone is like, oh, it's because she was a woman pharaoh. No. It's because they considered her to be a usurper. Mm-hmm. She was a really good ruler, but she didn't do it the right way. So they're like, get out of here.
Makes sense.
And he was supposed to have married his half-sister.
Okay.
Ankhsenamun is her name, which is the name of the chick in the mummy. Fun fact.
I was going to say, it's a beautiful name. Thing.
Yeah. I'm going to lick that.
Yep.
So, like I said, super incest. And they had two daughters, and both of them, I think, were stillborn. Or, like, died really soon after they were born. They were both in his tomb with him. He probably didn't start having a tomb built because he was so young, despite all of his, like, genetic conditions. So when he did die, they put him in a tomb that was, like, much smaller than a pharaoh's tomb should have been. And because I was really old and still outlived him, they think that they just shoved him in I's tomb.
Fuck.
Yeah. It was kind of a dick move, but... So, that's King Tut in a nutshell. So the curse.
It's the curse that all of your children will be stillborn and that you're gonna, like, eat someone else out of their, like, deathbed so you can sleep there instead.
That'd be terrifying.
Yeah, that would.
No. So the curse is, like, you know, death shall come on swift wings to all those who disturb the peace of the mummy or whatever. I don't know. I'm pretty sure that's from the movie.
I'm pretty sure that is from the movie because it's just familiar enough that I'm like, yeah.
So the curse was supposed to have claimed, I can't remember how many victims total, but I'm just gonna pick my top four, is what I did. Number one being Lord Carnarvon himself. he is the, well, his name is George Herbert, technically, but he's the fifth Earl of Carnarvon, so that's why he's Lord Carnarvon. And he was shaving his face and, like, cut a mosquito bite,
mm-hmm.
because Egypt is hot and there's mosquitoes there.
Yeah.
West Nile virus. Anyway, so he was shaving his face and he cut a mosquito bite, and that led to him having sepsis.
Gross.
Do you know what that is?
Yeah, it's when stuff shuts down. Like, sepsis of the liver is, like, super common. Not like you're just gonna be at IHOP and someone's like, my liver's septicing, but enough where, like,
septicing.
If you're in a hospital or washing house, you're like, oh shit, sepsis of the liver.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it, like, leads to blood clots and leaky blood vessels, which is gross, and then that, yeah, like, it's caused by septicemia, which is blood poisoning, and then your organs shut down if it's not treated properly, which... Back then, they didn't really know how to treat it properly, so...
Yeah, they didn't know shit about the human body.
That's why they dissected mummies.
They still didn't know anything.
So, yeah, he died less than 2 months after they entered the tomb.
Ooh.
In April of 1923. And then that, like, circulated the rumors of the cure, especially, like, the press blew it out the water.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to only affect people that entered the tomb, but then people who didn't have anything to do with the tomb were supposedly just, like, linked to people who did have something to do with the tomb.
Yeah.
Died in weird ways, and they linked that to the curse, and I don't know.
So it's kind of like Tut and his whole family were dishonored, so you and your whole family will be dishonored,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, something like
kind
that.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. Another fun fact, Lord Carnarvon's home is Highclere Castle, which is where they filmed Downton Abbey.
Oh, that's cool.
I know. And the only scenes that weren't filmed there, I think, were the downstairs ones, because that's where his Egyptian collection is actually kept.
Nice.
Yeah. Victim number two is Sir Archibald Douglas Reed, who was the radiologist who x-rayed Tut's mummy, and he got sick, like, the next day or something, and then 2 days later he was dead.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So, that's so fast.
And I couldn't see, oh, 3 days, sorry. And I couldn't find what he got sick with or anything, which kind of bums me out.
Probably radiation poisoning, because everyone was just
doing
the radiation back in the
day. That was January 15th, 1924, so...
It was in the peak of, oh, your skin isn't perfect? Radiation.
Yeah.
Oh, you have a stomachache? Radiation.
They used to put, like, arsenic, maybe?
That kills people.
In their makeup. To make their skin look better, but it just ended up making their skin, like, 12 times worse because it was super dehydrating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
Fun stuff. Victim number three, Hugh Evelyn White. He was one of the first people to enter the tomb, and he hanged himself on September 9th, 1924. And allegedly, he wrote in his own blood, "I have succumbed to the curse." Which, why would you be bleeding if you were,
yeah,
if you
exactly
hanged yourself? Like,
it, maybe...
Did you cut yourself to make yourself bleed and
I don't know,
to be dramatic?
Maybe he was already bleeding. Like,
true.
He's just like, oh, doing that thing again. Where I'm bleeding.
One time, my friend was trying to teach me how to play guitar, and my forehead just randomly started bleeding.
Nice. That's metal.
And then I was just like, all right, I guess I won't learn how to play guitar.
No, you do need to learn to play guitar. That this is pod racing. Like,
so then when I play guitar, my forehead just randomly bleeds, and everyone gets scared.
Yeah.
And then I win everything.
Yeah.
Got it. Bass is fine. I can play bass, no problem. But guitar is where things get bloody. So some people attribute that with being a result of seeing a bunch of other people associated with the tomb die, but, like, 26 people were there when they opened it, and in, like, 10 years, only 6 of those people were dead.
Yeah.
And, like, it's the 1920s, so...
People are dying from everything.
Yeah. People died from the flu.
Yeah.
In the 20s, so, yeah. Victim number four, my favorite transitional victim here. Richard Bethel was Lord Carnarvon's secretary, and he was found dead on the 15th of November, 1929. So that's, like, it's already a good, I don't know, 5 years?
5 years, yeah.
6 years? He was found dead in his bed at an exclusive gentleman's club in London.
Ooh.
Yeah. And at first they thought he had a heart attack, but then they were like, maybe he was smothered. So that's where, like, Aleister Crowley comes in. Do you know who that is?
Nope.
He's this super high society occultist, creepy person. He, like, wrote poetry and books and had his own religion and all kinds of weird. He was a weird. He was a weirdo.
Mm-hmm.
You should look up a picture of him sometime. Yeah, so there's this author, Mark Bainan, and he thinks that all of the deaths that are attributed to the curse were actually victims of Aleister Crowley murdering them.
What?
Yeah. Well, because there was a lot of Egyptian religion in Crowley's occultist beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was like, yeah, so he just got really offended that they opened this tomb and all this stuff. But he also thinks that he's, like, a Jack the Ripper copycat killer.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that's not how Jack the Ripper killed anyone.
No.
They would be prostitutes.
What if this is all just a coincidence,
though? Yeah.
Like, what if like, that last guy just, like, got smothered by some thighs? And, you know, and you can't say, like, this guy got smothered by thighs. It's obscene.
Especially in that time.
Yeah, jeez. Exactly. Like, the scandal. His handkerchief would be just strewn about, as they said.
He took off his gloves and mixed company.
Exactly. So there's, like, three options. Either, A, this is all a huge coincidence. None of it's real. It's like, whose line is it anyway, but with, like, curses? B, this shit real. Spooky stuff everywhere. You seen Tut? Dead. Your sister seen Tut? Dead. Like, I don't know, Tut himself, dead.
Super dead.
Yeah, like the most dead of everyone, I would say. Option three, this weird guy is like, whoa, I'm offended that you're sneaking about. He's slapping King Tut's cheeks, you know, and he's already been dead. His life sucked, why are you making it worse? I'm gonna kill you. And he's just going around murdering dudes, and this police didn't exist at this time, pretty much. Like, nothing, there was no way to track it down.
Yeah.
It's like you're robbing a bank. You know, if you just walk away fast enough, they're like, that guy's gone. Like, that's it. And when did the theory come about that it was the copycat killer?
I don't know when he published this book, but I want to say it's been within the last 10 years.
Whoa. Okay. So that's, like very, very recent.
In the terms of this timeline, mm-hmm. recently. Yeah. Okay. I should have looked that up, but I didn't. Yeah. But, yeah. And I'm like, how would he be a Jack the Ripper? Like, none of these are Jack. So what happened was that he found out that at the time that this guy was found smothered in his bed, Aleister Crowley had a friend that was also staying at this club, and he had been there to visit him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he, like, went back through and, like, found all of these potentially coincidental
mm-hmm.
Relationships between Crowley and each of the victims.
Yeah.
And then just, like,
just put the pieces together.
There has to be a level of evidence, like,
I mean, if they just asked him at the time, then it would have been different, because yeah. everyone was bound by a code.
Right.
You can't lie before 1950. That's just a fact. A very common fact.
So you're as, like, good as a handshake.
Yeah. Like, hey, Crowley, you murder these dudes? And you've been like, I do say I did. And that would have been it. Case closed.
Also, let's be real. If anyone was going to be killed by a curse, it would have been Howard Carter.
I mean, probably, yeah. And that makes sense.
Yeah. And he died when he was 64.
Mm.
Of lymphoma. Which
that's
is
a slow
technically
burn.
A curse in
Damn.
Itself.
Yeah. Like, you ever go into someone's house uninvited, and the next day they show up at your house and are like, you have cancer now? That's pretty much what happened there. Like, he went into King Tut's house, and then King Tut's ghost, like, just body rolled in there and was like, cancer, and then left.
The deuces.
That's it. See you in 20 years, fucker.
It's really nice that, well, yeah, it was, like, 1939, so 27 years after they entered, well, after he found the first step. His headstone's really nice, though.
What do you mean by really nice?
It says, may your spirit live, may you spend millions of years, you who love Thebes, sitting with your face to the north wind, your eyes beholding happiness.
That is really cute. Isn't That's surprisingly that, like, cute.
So yeah. peaceful.
He got killed. Like, I don't know. I feel like I would have been bitter.
I mean, cancer is a hell of a way to go.
Yeah.
But so his family was probably just like, here you go. Yeah. Well, word has it, though, that he was kind of a dick. So.
Probably. He broke into King Tut's house.
Well, just, I can't really hate him that much because apparently everyone thought he was a dick because he was such a perfectionist. Mm-hmm. And he got, like, really mad with, like, the media coming in and getting in the way. Mm-hmm. And he needed his, like, field hands to do things in a very particular way.
Yeah.
But I totally feel that, so... I think he was my soulmate.
Probably.
Yeah.
If you ever are in the market for a dead husband, he's there.
There is the Chinese practice of Mingoon where you can marry dead people.
Gross.
But that's gonna be a topic for another episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. I gave a presentation on it in my East Asian cultures class once.
That shit's strange.
It's gonna be fun.
If I died of a curse, possibly, my tombstone would say, fuck Tut, and then the year that I died. And then it would be me just, like, throwing up deuces. That's it.
What's that one, though? It's, like, kind of common in Victorian tombs and mausoleums, and it basically says, you can laugh because I'm dead, but I was alive once, and you're gonna be dead soon, no, so deal with it.
It's like, sticks and stones may break my bones, but I still fucked your mom. Like, that kind of thing. Like, but slightly fancier.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, for Victorian times, it was a sick burn.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like you I once was, like me you shall be, or something like that.
And I like that.
Yeah.
Getting that tattooed on my neck.
Sick burn. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm gonna get memento mori tattooed on me.
So. True. Yeah, it means remember mentos, so...
Yeah, that's what it means. She's it means remember fan. To die. God.
Huge fan of candy. That's it.
Are Mentos technically candy?
Mm-hmm. The sugar content's enough. Anything with high enough sugar, candy. Fruit, candy. Okay, handful of sugar, candy.
That sounds like an Andy Dwyer thing to say.
Yeah, probably.
That makes my teeth hurt, too. Anyway, yeah. That's all I got.
That's...
Do you have more questions?
Yeah, I mostly just like,
want to go back to why they keep.
Yeah, like I'm still upset about that. Like someone put time into that. That's like if you go to a restaurant and the chef you ordered, I don't know, like a steak, like a real nice steak, and the chef is just beautifully like cutting the meat and scoring things and searing both sides and like. Flourishes and just like kisses it when it goes out. Like, this is my work. This is my art. This is what I do. And then your turd 2-year-old just drops it on the floor. You'd be pissed, right? As the chef, like, I just did all that fucking work. Your kid just dropped it on the ground. That's the same thing. It's like...
Is the people doing the priests are the chef and then the mummy is the steak and then the Victorians are the 2-year-old?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. See, a perfect metaphor. Like, it's, yeah. It is a perfect metaphor. None of it make... I would be so upset. I would be so mad. And then you just have a bunch of dust and shit all over your house. And someone has to clean that up.
Mummy mold.
Yeah, and your house smells like decrepit butt cheeks for days.
Cleaner. What do you care?
Febreze didn't exist, though.
But you have a house cleaner, so what do you care?
I guess, but your house still smells gross. You don't get anything.
Your house is massive, so you can just go to a room that doesn't smell gross. Live in a mansion, probably.
I'm literally too poor to understand the concept of wanting to crack open a dead body with the boys. You know, like, that just doesn't make sense to me.
God, the next episode is going to be super great.
I'm upset already.
Feel free to rate and review. It helps us out immensely. And don't forget, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching our really long name, Broadcast from the Belfry.
Thanks for listening, and stay spooky.
Sluts.